The message I'd like to share with you this morning for a few moments. Give away the subject material, I'm sure. The title is We Remember. We Remember. I'd like to read a verse of a hymn that I have come to like, but yet it's, I don't think it's in any of our hymn books. It's sung by a lady by the name of Laura Halley. It's on YouTube. If you choose to listen to it, she does a wonderful job. The hymn goes as follows. His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, how could it ever be? That he would die, God's son would die, to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity which we have gathering together. And first of all, remembering our Savior and what he did for us on that cross. To remember that body that was broken, the blood that was shed, the life that was given, his life for mine, his life for ours. This morning, Father, as we spend a few moments thinking about what he told us to do. This do in remembrance of me. May our hearts be touched once again as we think of his love, his mercy, his grace that he shed there, that he displayed there on Calvary's cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to speak a few words this morning on the Lord's Supper, the Remembrance Feast, what Christendom calls communion, probably not my favorite name for the Lord's Supper. I prefer the Lord's Supper, the Remembrance Meeting, and perhaps one or two others. But we're going to talk this morning for just a few moments on several topics. First of all, its institution. Then we want to spend a moment or two thinking about its purpose. Then I'd like to think about our preparation. Then I'd like to think about our participation. And finally, well, I skipped one. Its promise. And then we'll think for just a moment, perhaps if there's time, about its preview. But we actually skipped one, and maybe we'll come back to it. Its institution. In three of the Gospels, and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we have the institution of the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26 and 26 reads as follows. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. And this is the verse that one of the reasons I chose this particular verse instead of one of the others. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Also, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, says as follows, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had substituted, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. The purpose, which is item number two, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is very simple. It's very profound. It's very important. It's critical to the church. It's critical to our Christian walk. It's critical in many ways. It's not to be taken lightly, but its purpose is very, very simple. As in, we read in Matthew, and also we find in 1 Corinthians, the second part of verse number 25, "This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." As his purpose. Number three was our preparation. I think we all understand very well the purpose of the Lord's Supper. As the saying goes, I'm preaching to the choir. You all have heard this before. But however, I chose to share these thoughts this morning for a couple of reasons. Sometimes I think we lose sight of the purpose. And sometimes I think we lose sight of our responsibilities in our preparation. And we have a number of young folks, and some of us that are a little older, or maybe a lot older, we forget not only the things we should remember, but we also forget the fact that some of our young folks have not had the teaching and the experience as some of the rest of us have. So when I'm thinking of preparation for the Lord's Supper, I think of it in a couple of different ways. First of all, I'm going to use the term the cleansing. And if we go back to the Old Testament, Leviticus, chapter 16, verse number 3, and we don't have to turn there for the sake of time, but the Lord is giving instructions to Moses for Aaron, the high priest. And don't forget, God calls us a kingdom of priests, and he's referring to each and every one of us. And he gives instructions for what Aaron is supposed to do. And let me just read it. It's fairly brief. "Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place." This is Aaron's opportunity to come into the very presence of God. An opportunity, by the way, that only was afforded to the high priest. It wasn't afforded to the, I will say, the rank and file, to the people that were there in Israel. The only person they could go into the holiest of all, and that once a year was Aaron, the high priest, at that point in time. But he had to be ready. He had to be prepared. He had to be cleansed. Let me read further. "He shall bring a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on a holy linen coat. He shall have linen breeches upon his flesh, shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore, he shall wash his flesh with water and put them on. And then he shall take for the children of Israel, a sin offering, one ram for a burnt offering." He was coming into the presence of a holy God. And if he transgressed in any way and not be properly prepared, death was the end. Now, think about it for a moment. Each of us here, as we go about our daily life, we come into contact with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I don't have to explain to any of you what that means. So when we come into this place to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul gives us instructions on cleansing. And he says, and here is a very important point, wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Therefore, let man examine himself, and so let him eat and drink of that cup. We are to confess and have our hearts washed by the blood of Christ before we come in here in the morning. Now, we all are going to have a certain amount of trouble with this, I think, because we're human. And we have to drive in Charlotte traffic to get here. We have to get up in the morning and face the morning. And things don't always go as we have planned. And we're human. And the Lord understands that. And our sins are washed away. We don't have to depend on confessing our sins again and again and again and bringing a sacrifice again and again and again like they did in the Old Testament. Once Christ died on that cross for our sins, and once for all, we accepted that sacrifice. And it's efficacious for everything we do. But for our hearts to be in the proper place when we come in here on Sunday morning, we need to have that time where we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Once again, and again, and again, I've goofed up, I've failed, I've sinned. And we know that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to forgive us unrighteousness. And that's what that's all preparing for. We come in here. Let's come on a Sunday morning with our hearts prepared. Number five is our participation. Exodus 23 and 15 goes into instructions on how to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And at the end of that chapter, at the end of that verse, it says, and none shall appear before me empty. What do you suppose that meant? Well, I think you know. They were supposed to come, in this particular instance, prepared with the unleavened bread. We have a responsibility to not come with our hands and our hearts and our souls empty. How do we do that? Well, you know, we came to the cross with empty hands. But you come to the table with a heart should be full and overflowing. I'll tread lightly here. Hopefully. But it doesn't start at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. It doesn't. If you wait till 10 o'clock on Sunday morning to prepare your heart for this meeting, you probably will be prepared. How do I know? I've got a lot of experience. So I'm preaching not only to you, but I'm preaching to myself. What you do on Saturday night, may or may not have an effect. That's up to you. I don't know how your mind works. I don't know how your heart works. I don't know what your interests are. And it's not mine to know. But you know. So when you come, be prepared. What better venue can we have than coming to the Lord's Supper and being ready to share what God has put on our hearts about the Lord Jesus? Again, speaking gently, I hope. The men have the privilege of sharing part of it. But ladies, you're not left out, I don't think. In fact, I'm sure. You're not permitted, according to 1 Corinthians 14 and 34, to take public part in this worship service. But there's nothing at all to prevent you from being prepared. There's nothing to prevent you from pouring out your heart silently to the Lord and telling him how much you appreciate what he did for you on that cross. And folks, we have a lot of men in this assembly. A few weeks ago, after the meeting, one of the brothers came to me and said, "That was such a good meeting." He said, "The men were ready, and everybody shared one right after the other. In fact, I had a hymn, I didn't even get a chance to give it up." And that's good. That made me happy. So, men folk, you have a responsibility. Please don't sit idly and expect somebody else to do it for you. If God has laid it on your heart, get to your feet. Now, again, treading gently, I hope. When you share at the Lord's Supper, what do we share? Do we preach the gospel? That's not our purpose. Do we give ministry on how to lead our lives in a godly way? I don't think so. That's not the purpose. Do we share what God has done in our life this past week? That's not our purpose. I'm trying to be careful here because God sometimes moves in mysterious ways in different venues in different ways. But the primary purpose of the Lord's Supper and the remembrance meeting is to point everyone's heart and thoughts and minds and in every way to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I love preaching the gospel. Some of us are very, very good at one-on-ones. Personally, I'd rather preach it to an audience, and the more the merrier. But I don't do it at 10 o'clock in the morning. I might have to go ahead at 11. Okay. So I hope I didn't offend anybody. I try not to, but this is what I believe, that the more we focus on the Lord Jesus at the remembrance meeting, the more glory and honor he gets as other people's hearts are touched by what we say and what we preach. Number six is his promise. I like this part of it. 1 Corinthians 11 and 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he..." That's the promise. That is the promise. It is only till he comes that we do it. And one day, it will be necessary because we'll be with him face to face. And I think we're all looking forward to that day. I skipped one. It's also a P. It did not hurt. Again, today was a bad day in terms of driving, getting wet, coming out in this cold, not well, it wasn't cold, it just kind of nasty. And I don't know about you, but the bed felt awful good. But what I skipped was punctuality. Okay, now, about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I was in the hospital. And I came up and I sat down at about quarter to ten. Quarter to nine. And I was, I arranged the announcements that the way I was going to give them, probably wrong. And just before the meeting, I turned around and the place was three quarters full. And I thought it was in their wrong church. Well, not really. If you're going to meet with the President of the United States, or the Governor of the State of North Carolina, or for instance, if you were called to be at work at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, you'd be there on time. I feel confident with that. And most of you get to work on time. I mean, a few that don't. Enough said. You know what I mean. It's so nice to have everybody here sitting down. And you know what it does? Gives you a chance for your mind to forget the track and everything else that happened. If you want to find the preface, if you will, I'll call it that, the preface of the Lord's Supper, go back to Exodus and read about the institution of the Passover, which is what the disciples were celebrating with the Lord Jesus. Go back and read that chapter. And about the preparation, getting the lamb that had to be without blemish and without spot. A perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The lamb was slain, the blood was put over the doorpost and the lintels. And you know what the Lord said? When I see the blood pass over you. A beautiful picture, a beautiful preface of what we did this morning. May God bless his word. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you this morning, this opportunity to share. I ask, Father, that if there's anything I said that offended anybody or said in error, that you will erase those thoughts if that's the way it should be. But Father, we pray that as we think of what our Savior did on that cross, what he suffered for sinners such as ourselves, and what simple thing he has asked us to do, but with such profound and wonderful meaning, to remember him because he remembered us at the cross first. We pray and thank you for our Savior, for his love, his mercy, for his grace, and for the opportunity which we have, this one side of eternity. Remember what he did for us. We pray for the day. We give you thanks for the refreshments that we're about to receive. And we thank you and bless you for all the sins in Jesus' precious name. Amen.